Good morning and welcome to Sunday School. It's so good to see everybody that's in service today and welcome to everybody that's online. I'm so excited to see you and I'm so excited to share with you what is on my heart. But first, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that we have together, Lord God, to learn more about you, Lord Jesus, to soak our heads in your word, Lord God. I'm so thankful for each kid that's here in person. I'm thankful for every person, Lord God, that is watching online. I pray, Lord Jesus, that these words that I have to say today would be your words, the words that I believe you have given me to say. I pray you'd anoint our ears to hear what you would have to say to us today. Thank you, precious Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I just want to say one more time, Merry Christmas. Did everybody have a great Christmas? I had a great Christmas. I enjoyed all of the Christmas music. I enjoyed every single light display. I enjoyed the Christmas cards. I have a tradition. And as I'm putting the last of the Christmas cards away, I pray for every person that I got a Christmas card from. So I prayed for a lot of you this year. And I also, of course, enjoy the Christmas cookies. Did everybody get to decorate Christmas cookies this year? Did you at least get to eat a Christmas cookie this year? I hope so. So now Christmas is over. We have to put all of the decorations away. The Christmas tree is thrown out to the curb or stuffed up in the attic. Everything has to go away until next year, except the gifts. The gifts that we opened on Christmas Day, we have to play with all year, right? Do you love to get gifts? Do you love to give gifts? I love to give gifts too. It's so much fun. Well, what do you think God has to say about gifts? I bet he has something to say about it. So let's look at our first scripture, and it is James 1:17, and it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God loves to give good gifts, and every good gift that you have somehow traces back to God. He put the idea in your parents' head. Maybe he put the idea in your head to ask your parents about, but every good gift comes from God. Let's look at the next verse. This one is in Matthew, and it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Think about that. As parents, when my kids were little, I used to love watching them open their gifts. I was waiting for that moment when they said, oh, that's exactly what I wanted, or I'm so glad you found that. Not the, oh no, not socks and underwear again. But think about that. God wants to give us good gifts as well, and he loves giving us gifts more than our parents love giving us gifts. That's pretty exciting. And then our next verse. This is one of my very favorite passages of scripture. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Well, I know what you're going to say. This verse does not even have the word gift in it. What does it have to do with gifts? But let's talk about well-doing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. What does that mean? Well, maybe it's the gift of your time. Maybe it's hanging out with grandma for just a couple hours to listen to that story that you've heard 100 times, but it means so much to her to tell it to you again. Maybe it's the gift of taking your plate to the sink after supper without being asked. Or maybe it's the gift of reading a story to your younger brother, even though you don't want to read it, but you know it would be a blessing to him. Or coloring a picture with your sister. That sounds like a good gift, too. And a gift doesn't have to be something that is tangible, something that you see or feel. It can be the gift of your time or the gift of service, like taking your plate to the sink. So let's think about that. What is the best gift that you can give yourself? No, it's not the gift of a Christmas shave, like the Grinch would tell you. It is the gift of memorizing God's word, of hiding his word in your heart. The Bible talks about that. Here's another verse. This one is in Psalms. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Okay, so there's one reason we should memorize God's word, so that we can hide it in our heart so that we won't sin against him. The Bible tells us that. Let's look at the next verse. The next one is from 1 Kings 8:61, and it says, "Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God." Wow, that's cool. I want my heart to be perfect with God, to walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments as at this day. Okay, so what's the next question? How do I know what his statutes and his commandments are? One more verse in this section, and it is Psalms 19:14, another incredible section of scripture that I just love. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." How do we know what we should meditate on? How do we know what's acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Well, one way is to read our Bibles, right? We can look at those, the Bible verses, and those are God's words to us. But if you go a little bit farther, and if you think about it, you don't take your Bible to the playground. You don't always take your Bible to school. You don't take it to the grocery store. But if you have those words memorized in your head, they go with you everywhere. And that's pretty cool, right? What if we had those words so memorized that when our pastor got up to preach and he said the scripture reference, he was reading it off the screen, but we could close our eyes and quote those verses with him? Well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, "I can't do that. I'm too little. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I don't have enough time. I have too much to do with school." But the truth is, we are memorizing all the time. You have to memorize your ABCs, I think, at least when it was my turn to go to school. You had to memorize your ABCs before you could even go to school, right? And it doesn't end there. You have to memorize those math tables. You have to memorize the addition tables, the subtraction tables, the multiplication tables, and the division tables. Every single one of those things you have to memorize. And we memorize things in our culture, too. Companies work really hard to try to get us to associate things with their products, right? So they make a song or they make a slogan. I have a couple slogans that I want to tell you and see if you know what company these are associated with. The first one is "finger licking good." Can anybody shout it out? What is that? KFC, yes. How about "just do it"? Does anybody know that one? Yeah, Nike. How about "I'm loving it"? McDonald's. Do you see? You've memorized those things. And one more. How about "taste the rainbow"? Skittles, yes. So the companies have succeeded in getting you to memorize the things that associate with their product, right? So once again, you're going to say, "I can't do it." Okay, that's really great, but I can't do it. It's too difficult for me. Well, let's listen to a little video clip.
And Jack was clothed with camel skin with a good old skin, but his bones needed to eat locusts when he was hungry. Locusts is like a bug. Ew, that bug is yuck. I don't like it.
So this little unnamed person at Calvary Gospel Church learned these verses not with wailing and travailing. It wasn't sit down and learn these verses by her mom. There was no gnashing of teeth. Do you know how this little person who will remain unnamed learned these verses? She learned them just through listening to songs, songs with the words of the verses. So where am I going with all of this? I have no idea. Just kidding. Three things. So for the verses of study for quizzing this year, we're studying the book of Mark. So what that means is we have a ton of music for verses in Mark. If you're interested in learning those verses, we can provide you with MP3s of those, or we can also burn them to a CD. In this case, this little person listened to them in the car. It wasn't even, okay, you got to listen to them overnight as you sleep, and when you wake up in the morning, you will magically know them. It didn't work that way. It was just listening in the car. So let's listen to one of the verses in Mark that we have set to song, just so you get an idea of what it's like.
Mark chapter 1:7, and preached, saying, "There comes..." should up whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and then lose.
Kind of catchy, kind of fun. It's January and your kids are bored because Christmas is over and it's cold outside. So maybe you want to, in your resetting, right? We're all trying to reset. Maybe your thought for resetting is to get more scripture into your kids or even into you. So you can, we can provide these songs to you. And the way to connect with us is to call the church, dial extension 319, and we'll get the message and get you those verses. Okay, so there's another thing. It is 4 weeks exactly until another major holiday. This is my favorite holiday. It has to do with chocolate and roses and candy and hearts. Does anybody know what holiday it is? Shout it out. It's Valentine's Day. Sorry, Peter. It's Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day makes us think about love. There's some really great verses in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. They are 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. So let's quick watch this video.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast.
Well, I don't know why it's
arrogant.
We can skip this one. It's okay. It's a YouTube video, and it has great graphics to show, to so you can see the words, and so you're also hearing it. But anyway, it's out there, I promise. So we have also, we as in me, created audio clips of the verses. So it's common songs that you would know, and then the words of the verses are in these songs. Let's listen to one.
1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud.
There it is. That's painful for me to listen to. But it is, oh, thanks. It is what it is. But we have 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, out on our YouTube channel. If you go to CGC Madison's YouTube channel and look for the playlist Memorize Scripture, there are audio clips for 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 13, 5, 13, 6, and 13, 7. And another thing that I love to do is collect videos of kids, videos of anybody, quoting scripture. That means so much to me. I have about 6 right now, but I am looking to add to my collection. So if you will memorize all of those scriptures, all of the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, or you can memorize one, or you can memorize a piece of one, but if you will send me a video, I will trade you for cookies. We can negotiate your price, but I would love to make you cookies for those verses. And finally, one more thing. We have a Zoom meeting. It's called the Bible Quizzing Zoom Meeting on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. And kids come in there, and we just have a good time together first. Sometimes we tell jokes, right, Olivia? And then we break out into breakout groups, and you can spend some time with an adult learning verses, working on your verses. It's a good time to connect with other people from Calvary Gospel Church. It's a good time to learn verses, and you might even learn a joke or two. It's a lot of fun. So if you're interested in that option, you can also call church, dial extension 319, and we'll get that information to you too. So, okay, let's sum this all up. What is the greatest thing? What would I say is the greatest thing about memorizing these scriptures? It's not just the greatest gift that you can give yourself, but it is a gift that will last as long as you do. You will have those verses in your heart for those hard times in your life. I can tell you that there are still times at work when I get frustrated and overwhelmed and I don't know the next thing to do. And I'll tell you what I do. I close my eyes and I just refocus. I say, okay, God, I just need a little dose of Jesus to carry on here. And you don't even have to necessarily quote the verse that applies in the situation, though that is a good thing to do. But if I just start quoting, sometimes it's Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sometimes it's Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Sometimes it's Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And sometimes it's Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. But whatever you quote, whenever you get that little dose of Jesus, it's so great because he helps you refocus from the thing that's really bothering you and redirect your mind to focus on the good things, to focus on the good things of God, and he will give you the strength to face whatever circumstance it is that you are in. That's all I have to say about memorizing scripture. Thank you so much. That's the end of our Sunday school lesson. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you just hang around a little bit longer, we will start our regularly scheduled Sunday morning service. God bless you all.
I'm so grateful I can be identified by the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship him a little longer. Let's lift up our hands again. Jesus, we love you, God. It's not who I am, it's who he is. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. We want to welcome everyone to Calvary Gospel Church online and in person. And if you are a guest of ours, we'd like to encourage you to take a moment, if you're here, to go to the kiosk and get a hold of one of these connection cards if you haven't been given one already. A couple of bits of information that we can use if you are willing to communicate with you our appreciation for your visit here. We're glad that you're with us. We want you to feel at home, feel part of the family of God. Amen. Amen. If you're online, you can go to the bit.ly site and connect there and do the same, and we will reach out to you. Please let us know that you're with us online. We appreciate your time with us, and we want to let you know how much we appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Also this morning, you have ways to give. I want to remind everyone that there's still opportunity. If you haven't given to Christmas for Christ yet, we haven't sent in our Christmas for Christ offering, but we have to do so very quickly, very soon. And if you are able, we'd encourage you to give to this offering. It's a North American Missions offering that's taken every year. It goes to support the planting of new churches, supports land grants for churches that are trying to find a place to meet and have the people that need to fill that space. Many different ways in which Christmas for Christ helps plant churches all around the country, but especially here in our state. 40% of all the funds that we raise will remain here in the state of Wisconsin, and North American Missions will use it to support church planters, just like UPC Stoughton, the daughter work of Calvary Gospel Church. So please keep that in mind. Amen. So still time to give to Christmas for Christ, but please do so. We're behind last year, as you can imagine, during this COVID period, that there a lot of people are stressed financially. And as a result, we're a little bit behind. But the needs of the kingdom are continuous, and certainly the people that are on the mission field, they have as much need as ever. So, amen. Coming up at the end of the month, January 28th and 29th, is Wisconsin's Midwinter Camp Meeting South. The location has been changed. There's a change of venue. It's taking place at Abundant Life Church in Oconomowoc on the 28th and 29th. You will be blessed with the speakers that are there. Brother Rick Treese, Scott Graham, and our Bishop of the Wisconsin District, Brother James Booker. Amen. Then also, we have one more thing that we want to bring to your attention, and Pastor Roy Grant is going to do that.
Praise the Lord, Church. As you know, many of us have been it's been a while since we've all been together as a church body. And during all of this last year, all of this times where we were here and then we were online and back here, we had some things that shifted as far as our church goes, positions within our church that shifted. Some of you may have noticed that Sister Fiona is not up here as she was for 2 years, and would like for Sister Fiona to come this morning. If she would come. And then also, a lot of you have noticed that with our youth ministry, that we have new youth leaders, new pastors there in our youth, and that's Kyle and Alicia McConville. But James and Rachel Novak were our youth pastors for a number of years, and I would like for them to come this morning, because we haven't been able to officially thank them and recognize. And then also, The last that we have made as far as shifting is Sister Linda Brown has been over our ladies' ministry. They moved here back in the early 90s, I believe. I think she's been ladies' minister for 30-plus years. I failed to ask her exactly how many years, but Sister Linda Brown is moving from our ladies' ministry to overseeing our prayer ministry. And Brother Blake George, that is now down in Stoughton, assisting with Brother Thomas. So I'd just like for them to come up here on the platform a little bit higher, if they would. It's a little easier for me, if I can just move this back. And I want to just thank each and every one of these. We have Sister Abby Powell that's going to be taking over our music. And we're so excited. Many of you have probably already noticed the change there. But Sister Fiona, thank you so very much for the years that you put in, kind of taking over. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so very much. God bless you. And now James and Rachel, I want to give this to Rachel, because if I give it to James, you'll never get it probably, Rachel. Okay, so just remember, whatever's in here, half is yours. Okay, so God bless you. Love you both. Appreciate you. They have served with our youth, and I appreciate that so very much. And Sister Linda Brown, we meet quite regularly with ladies ministry and then now with prayer ministry. And I'm so excited, but thank you so very much. You have touched so many lives of so many ladies and families in this church over the years. And thank you so very much. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you, Sister Linda. You don't have to. Let's all stand and give them a big hand this morning. We appreciate so very much their leadership, their sacrifice, their willingness to share their lives, their families with the rest of Calvary Gospel Church. I love you guys. God bless you. And I think it's prayer. So let's just stay standing, and we'll go ahead and pray. I feel good today. You know, in spite of everything that's going on, I mean, sometimes we just have to block all of that junk out and just say, okay, Lord, there's Sister Lindsay Simmons. They snuck in over there. I know the roads were bad and they're running a little late. They have a long travel, but Sister Lindsay will be taking over our ladies' ministry. So thank you. Brother Jerry's over our men's ministry and our outreach. So, but let's just pray that God would, we're going to be talking about how the enemy uses our own mind, our own thought processes against us. We're going to try to take home some valuable nuggets this morning. We'll continue this lesson this morning all the way through until Wednesday evening. So make sure you're here or tune in on Wednesday evening. But let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for every one of my brothers and sisters, family, friends, guests of honor that are here with us today. And I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. I pray, Lord, as we worship, that your worship, Lord, would begin to move our hearts. Step into our hearts, step into our minds. Lord, I pray, God, that as the word goes forth today, that you would open up, allow us to open up and to receive what you have for us. We ask you, Lord, those that are sick in body and that are here and those that are not able to make it, that your hand would be upon them, that you would touch them, that you would heal them. Heal these families, Lord God. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm going to lead you into worship, our worship team. God bless you. We'll be back in a few moments.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Mm-hmm.
This morning. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you so very much. Our worship team. Feel good this morning? So good to see Brother and Sister Caskey back from vacation. We have a number of guests here this morning, and so good to see all of you here. You can go ahead and be seated. We are in a series, a 21-day fast, little different than any fast that we have done in the past. We're focusing 1 week on our soul, our heart. That was last week, spiritually, then mentally, our minds. We start this morning, a lesson on our mind, and then next week will be physical, our body. And we have a little reset, reconnect sheet that you can grab out in the vestibule at the kiosk, three different areas to focus on in your life each week. And go ahead, grab you one of those, take it home with you. And so many times we make New Year's resolutions, and by the time the first month of the year is over, we've already given up on them. But be determined this year, above all, is that you're going to take and you're going to reset your life spiritually, reset it physically, and reset it mentally. As I said, we're quick review from Wednesday night on guarding your heart. We spoke about recognizing the treasure, recognizing the value of your soul. Prioritize the task. That means you prioritize guarding your heart. Keep your heart guarded. And then minimize the trash that goes in. We let so much just trash into our lives. And then energize your heart with truth. Fill it with truth. Today we move into the area of the mind, resetting our minds. And resetting our minds is probably the most difficult thing that we will ever do. Due to the fact that so much in our mind is hidden. Very much like our heart, Scripture tells us that a heart is above all wicked. Who can know it? There are things that we can hide in the recesses of our mind, tucked away in our thoughts. Thus, it becomes our greatest challenge when it comes to resetting how we think. When we look at our minds, you could actually say or make a statement, a very strong statement of truth, that your mind, your thought process is the gateway to your very soul. Controlling what we think is one of the most difficult things. Have you ever run into a person that has absolutely no filter? There are certain people in life that I found as I get older that I don't ask their opinions, because I know that if I ask their opinion, they're going to give me all of their opinion. And sometimes, you know, we can be that way, and people ask us what we think, and sometimes we're afraid. We don't always say what we think. Even though we're thinking it, we're not saying what we think. I want to read this morning a passage of Scripture, one verse of Scripture, in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It tells us that we are to demolish arguments. I'm reading from a revised version here. You can follow in the Amplified up there. But we are to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's a very difficult statement right there to say, and even a much more difficult statement in which to live by. Set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and I simply cannot or have not mastered that. I will be honest with you. I have a very difficult time demolishing every argument that comes into my mind. I have a difficult time with every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought and make that thought obedient to Christ. I would like to just introduce to you this morning a very simple principle. And this is the principle of block, delete, and unfriend. what Paul is telling the church at Corinthians right here is to demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So we are to block, and then we are to delete, and then we are to unfriend. We live in a world where everything in our lives when it comes to social media is about blocking, deleting, friend or unfriend. And there are times when we need in our lives for the sake of our hearts. Because the mind will allow things in that corrupt the heart. We're going to cover more on this principle. I'm not going to fit everything in this morning, but remember when you were a kid, perhaps, and maybe even adults, a lot of adults love to watch scary horror movies. And I've never been a real big horror movie fan. I like science fiction, and I love a good documentary or a good Western or something that's loosely based upon history. I'm not a big mushy Hallmark guy. Okay, because they're kind of all the same after you've watched one or two of them. But Christmas is over, so Hallmark is gone for the season. But anyway, Louis L'Amour, guys like that, or, you know, I remember years ago, we spent the summer, my brother John and I, down at my grandma, Grandpa Grant's and Grandpa Smith's. Now, they lived in Texas. My grandma and Grandpa Smith did not go to church that I know of. They may have, but I've just never been to church with them. And my grandma and Grandpa Grant went to church every Sunday, and we split our time between the grandparents, and we loved going to Grandma and Grandpa Smith's house because they had a television. And we grew up, our home, we didn't have a TV growing up. And it was quite a social challenge for us boys. We had to pay very close attention on the school bus because Sunday night, always they had Sunday night at the movies. We didn't want to feel like left out. You know how hard it is being a 13, 14-year-old trying to explain to your buddies at school you don't have a TV and you've never owned one? Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's how we grew up. So here we are at Grandma and Grandpa Smith's house. We love to watch late night television. We'd lay in there on the carpet before the TV, you know, about 3 foot from it, you know. This was back when they had those big console where you had all the big speakers and your TV and your stereo and your 8-track and everything was all together. Some of you don't even know what an 8-track player was, but the phonograph machine, the record player. Remember those days? Cassettes hadn't been, they weren't here yet. So one night we were watching a science fiction horror picture. And all of us grandkids were there, and we're all laying, and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles are all in the kitchen arguing about probably politics or something, who knows. They're going at it and having a stiff conversation, and all of a sudden, the picture, the movie we were watching, Pastor Silent, it was about, as all I can remember, it was about a vampire that traveled through space. And the favorite captain of our favorite spaceship was being seduced by this female vampire, and he was about to be smitten and bitten in the neck. And all of us grandkids, we became petrified. We're yelling, "Don't do it! Don't do it! Run!" We were really into this. And we realized that she was going to take and bite him in the neck, and we became much afraid. And we all get up, run into the kitchen. And all of a sudden, the adults are wondering, "Why are you all in the kitchen?" And we're like, "Because the movie's scary." One of the uncles says, "Well, just turn the channel. Turn it off." "We can't do that. We're not going back into the room." And we sat there and argued. And finally, my Grandma Smith spoke up. She called my uncle Charlie Max. She said, "Charlie Max, go in there and turn that TV off." Charlie didn't want to go in. Fear had struck the Smith residence that night because a space vampire was about to latch on to our favorite intergalactic space captain. Finally, Charlie goes in and turns the TV off, and we left the TV off for the duration of how long the movie would, because we knew if we turned it back on, it was going to go back to the same channel and the same show. You see, it didn't take long to realize that the way to avoid nightmares like this is to simply stop watching scary pictures. Dark basements. Many of you will not admit this out loud this morning, but I would guarantee you that most of you go up your basement stairs faster than you go down them. You live in the house. You know that there's no one down there, but the lights are off. It's dark. You come up the stairs, and you're a little bit quicker in your pace than when you went down the stairs. Used to live on Felon Road when we grew up, just up the road here, and we had an outdoor entrance to the house, and I come home one night. Mom and Dad were gone, and I was the only one at home, and usually when before we left, we'd leave some lights on because it was very dark. There were lots of trees, and I came home, and I noticed the dog and the cats. Everywhere I went, they were right there with me, and I thought, this is odd. So I began to work my way around the house, turning on every light as I entered into the room so that the upstairs was well lit, but I had to go down into our basement. We had an old furnace that was an old fuel oil furnace, and it made all kinds of weird noises in the night. As I go downstairs, the dogs are right behind me, and I walk around the corner into the back room, and I noticed that the back door was wide open, and we had an old printing press that my dad thought he would someday revive and use for church purposes that weighed like 5,000 tons, and we had that pushed against the door, and that was moved out, and the door was open, and instantly fear. I thought, now I know why the dogs are following me. I closed the door, propped it shut with a chair, and called Brother Keith Manley and said, hey, I'm coming over tonight. You see, there was no one in the house. There probably may have been or not have been. I don't really know, but you see, fear gets in your mind. Fear begins to mess with your thought process. You see, what you put in your mind, what you allow to be placed in your mind has an effect on what you think. Have you ever gone through a period of life? I know I've gone through a period in my life where I felt totally overran by circumstances, and I felt totally overrun by frustrations and negative thoughts and lies from the enemy. Thus allowing the enemy to build a spiritual stronghold inside of my very own mind. I have no idea. I had no idea. How do I conquer? How do I rid myself from this struggle that I'm fighting in my life? Nights were difficult. You may find yourself in this situation here this morning. Nights become difficult because you fight to go to sleep, but your mind will not ever rest. You see, it was an unending battle, and I realized that I was losing this battle. At the time, I was not living for God. Thus, I was not allowing God to control any area of my life. And the thing is whether you want to be or not, this morning, every last one of us, no matter how old you are, young person, how young to how old you are fighting a spiritual battle over the control of your mind. If you haven't figured that out, you're in grave trouble. It probably means you've already lost the battle. But there's a battle going on that is a eternal battle for your mind, and you are in it. You are in it, whether you want to be in it or not. But however, how we fight this battle, how we fight this battle, understand how we fight the battle for the control of our mind makes a huge, huge, huge difference in our lives. We can choose to fight well and experience God's peace in our lives, or we can get chewed up and we can get spit out, succumbing to the onslaught of the enemy. I don't know the intensity of the battle that you are fighting in your mind here today, but today, I believe with the help of God, I can give you some tools. Some tools that God gave me to experience victory in your life. But the first thing that we need to establish and understand this, it's a mind game that the enemy plays with you. It's a mind game the enemy plays with me. And his tactic is the same. Understand, we can choose to fight this battle from a position of victory or from a position of defeat. And the enemy tries to get us to fight this battle from a position of defeat. Thus, he can keep us defeated. But the Bible says that we're not fighting for a victory, we are fighting from a victory because Jesus Christ came, he conquered. Did you get what I just said? I know this has been thrown out there before, but the truth of the matter is we are fighting from victory. Are we or are we not children of the Most High? Has he or has he not? He tells us. He tells us in his word to lay down our yoke. Lay down the heaviness of your burden. Lay down your frustrations. Lay down your anger. Lay down all of these things that you struggle with. You see, Jesus has already won the war. But you see, understand, in my battles, I fought much different. When I begin to understand the dynamic of the fight, I could never go into a boxing ring and box an opponent without having the proper experiencing training to get in that ring to box. But you know, if you take a period of time and you learn, you teach yourself, you could get in and you could fight at the level so you don't get your brains kicked out. And we have to learn to fight that way. So understand, the enemy will attack, attack, and attack, and attack, and attack, and attack, and attack, because he is relentless and he's ruthless. And as we just studied in a previous Bible study, that he is simply trying to wear you out. So he will send everything he can to destroy us, but we have to remember that we are safe. We are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus Christ. So before we get in, we have to look at some things. I talked about spiritual strongholds. Before we can get into a spiritual stronghold and understand exactly what a spiritual stronghold is, I want to take you on a little bit of a side journey here. A stronghold is simply a place where a particular cause or belief is defended and upheld.
also can refer to a place dominated by a particular group of people. Back to our movies today. Have you ever seen a movie, a medieval movie, where all the knights rushed into the castle and the moat, the bridge over the moat came up and the castle was secured? They're inside a stronghold. All right, we've seen that. Fortified castles, the king and the queen, Robin Hood. We've watched all of these movies over the years. And spiritual strongholds, on the other hand, just as a physical stronghold, they exist in our minds in a fortified castle that the enemy occupies and controls. Hear what I'm saying. It's a fortified castle that we allow the enemy to build in our minds, and the enemy occupies and controls us from within. Strongholds are built by negative thoughts. I can't do that. God calls you to do something. The first thing you start to do is argue, God, I'm not qualified for that. I can't do that. Somebody at work tells you, you need to do this. I can't do that. You see, strongholds affect us in more than just church. They affect us in how we live and function in our lives. A stronghold can be your whole life you've been told that you're worthless, you're never going to amount to anything, and you're too stupid. You build and allow other people to build strongholds inside of your mind, and you live your life captured by somebody that doesn't even live inside your head. Do you understand what I'm trying to say this morning? So when Paul is saying that we have to break down strongholds and prevent new ones from being built, we have to take that and we have to destroy the arguments and every lofty opinion that's raised up against the knowledge of Christ and take every thought into captivity. We know that thoughts build strongholds in our minds, and the enemy uses that against us. So we must learn to take our thoughts captive so that he has no foothold inside of our minds. Because once he gets, listen, this is how it starts. He gets in our minds through our thought process, and then he begins. That mind begins to flow into our heart and our soul, and it comes out as actions through our body. That's why I'm talking about resetting. It's important. If you reset your physical, you have to reset your spiritual, your soul, and your mind. People say, I can't lose weight. I have a struggle with losing weight. You have struggles with all kinds of other, perhaps, issues. The biggest battle is the battle between your two ears. So we have to learn to control our mind. We have to know that ideologies, ideas, can be used as weapons as well. It's no surprise that the enemy has been using them against Christians for generations. Our entire Christian walk is based upon faith and belief. And if the enemy can get you and I to believe a lie, then he can shake and tear down and destroy the very foundation in which we are built upon. You see, one thing is, he doesn't often come at us with one gigantic, swift blow to where he can just come in and just blow us over in one swift move. As I've said, little by little, little by little, little by little, he begins to build lies in our hearts, in our minds, and crippling us before we ever even know what has happened. Remember the story of Samson? I shared this with you a few weeks ago. That Samson, Delilah just wore him down, wanting to know the source of his strength. And finally, he shared with her the source of his strength. He says, if you cut my hair, I will be as any other man. She cuts his hair. He's as any other man. He's captured. He didn't even realize and understand that the power of God had left him. It's exactly what the enemy does in our minds. He whittles away little by little by little by little. And what ends up happening is he takes and creates a stronghold in our mind. Thus, when we begin to process thoughts, as we begin to process thoughts, we begin to process thoughts through his stronghold. You understand that? Remember that saying, watch your thoughts for they become words. Watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions for they become habits. And watch your habits for they become character. That is so, so, so true. And we're going to get into a little bit, and I'm running out of time this morning, so just bear with me. We're going to get a little technical here on how our thoughts actually work. Understand, our thoughts create what I'm going to term as inner standards inside of our mind, inner morals, that spark a neurochemical dynamic process that governs our choices and actions. God created us this way, folks. We didn't evolve into this. God created us. We are very technical, difficult, complex creatures. Our brains are operated by electricity. That's what causes your mind, your cells to function and talk to one another. You have portions of your brain that's nothing more than just a memory recall portion. We have a portion of our brain the size of a golf ball that where most of our emotions and reasoning comes from. So we're not just thrown apart, but these thought processes, they spark emotions within us and they drive decisions to take action or no action at all. Whether we realize it or not, our thoughts are very much linked to our reality. Every thought we have, every thought that comes across your mind during the course of this message, there have been billions and billions of neurochemical changes going on within our minds as we sit and process what we are being taught today. It happens automatically. There's no such thing as, oops, I just had a random thought. That process has been going on perhaps for days, weeks, or months in your subconscious, and then poof, out it comes. Even the smallest thought can be a very big deal. Thus, the enemy wants to use our thought life. He wants to take over and build a stronghold in our neurochemical dynamic process of our mind to negatively impact your and my reality. This is life, folks. You thought your mind was not quite so complex. It's when Philippians, Paul is writing to the church in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is true. We have such a problem finding truth today. Whatsoever is honorable, there's no honor among thieves. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So he's saying if you want to fix your heart problem, if you want to fix the strongholds in your mind, you have to stop thinking about the negative trash that this enemy has planted and begin to think about what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what's pure, what's lovely, commendable, what is excellent. You see, We fight back in the spirit by allowing, hear me, we fight back in the spirit by allowing our minds, our neurochemical dynamic process. We fight back by allowing our neurochemical dynamic process to be run by Jesus Christ, not by Satan. Thus, Paul's talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We think of Christ, we think of his word and his truth to war against the enemy. Thus, spiritual warfare that Paul lays out so expertly in Ephesians, spiritual warfare doesn't begin in our heart. It doesn't begin in our bodies. It begins in our heads. And fighting against the enemy that is coming against us is in an onslaught. The greatest spiritual battle you will ever fight is the battle between your two earlobes. We often think that spiritual warfare is somewhere out there that's waiting to be fought. We talk about this all the time. Yeah, going downtown, going to do a little spiritual warfare. The greatest battle you will ever fight, everywhere you go, it goes with you because it's inside of your head. Very passionate about this because I allowed the enemy for 13 years of my life rob me because he robbed my thinking process. What if we fight the enemy and pull down his tactics best by allowing our minds to simply be renewed every day, every day, every day? We're showing up on the wrong battlefield to fight what's taking place in our minds. Instead of addressing what's going on within us, we try to control everything that's going on around us. The truth is, the bottom line is, I can't control what my wife does or doesn't do, and you can't control what your children do or don't do, but you can control what you do. We would be much more victorious if we asked God's spiritual weapons to fight the enemy attacking our minds. Spiritual warfare, yes, it requires spiritual weapons. You can't read a book. You got to engage in this battle. You have to take what you read. You can read the Bible all day long, every day, all day, every day, all day, every day. But until you take what you read and actually apply it and commit it. This Wednesday night, we're going to continue this study, and we're going to cover a number of steps. I'm just run out of time this morning. We're going to cover a number of steps that are going to be critical steps for us as a church, you as a Christian, on how do I actually fight this battle. This morning, I want you to realize and understand the magnitude of the fight, the tactic of the fight. As we stand this morning and as our musicians come, Ephesians 4, I'm going to read this chapter 22 through 32. This is an extremely powerful, powerful, powerful word that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on, the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, you can't become good. I'm sorry, you can't become good by yourself. You need the righteousness, That's why Paul says, put on a new self. Change who you are. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Well, you know, if the whole world would just follow this, what a radical change we would have. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. Do not anger. You're in your anger. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know what happens when you go to bed, husband or wife or kids, young people? You know what happens when you go to bed angry? All night long, the devil's inside your head building a stronghold that you may or may not be able to defeat in the morning. And that's what we do. We go to bed angry. We're thinking negative thoughts. We're mad at our husband. We're mad at our wife. We're plotting how to get even with that person at work. Stupid neighbor Bob keeps blowing his lawn clippings on my driveway every time he mows down. How can I get back at him? Paul's saying, wait a minute here. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the enemy an opportunity to get inside your head. That's what he's saying here. Keep the enemy out of your mind. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Ah, there's novelty. Doing something useful with your own hands, that they might have something to share with those in need. I can't tell you how many things that I have learned how to do through the course of life with these hands that I've been able to take and share to help others. That's what he's saying here. Make something useful out of this. Instead of using these hands for negative and ungodly purposes, use them for God. Don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths. Unwholesome talk. Boy, that could be a lot of things. I know some people that's all. If they took the unwholesomeness out of their talk, they really wouldn't have a whole lot to say. But he's telling us as a church, he's writing this to the church. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't make God mad at you. Don't get God angry, with whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Don't let the enemy... You don't want people become bitter? Bitter in their hearts, to where some people you don't even want to be around because they wreak so much of bitterness, is because the devil has a stronghold inside of their head. And they have learned to live with that stronghold. And it has become who they are. Rage and anger. Church, our world is full of rage and anger. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. Listen, I am never going to agree with 100% of what goes on out there. And they're never going to agree with 100% of what goes on in here. Live with it. It's been this way since the beginning of time. That's why Adam and Eve got booted out of the garden. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. Boy, it's so easy today. You can get on social media and you can rip anybody apart without a shred of evidence. There's a special place in hell for people like that. Take somebody that's totally innocent, shredding them through slander. Along with
every form of malice. Well, that just pretty much sums up everything. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How many of you appreciate the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ? And he ends that just as in Christ, God forgave you. If you're not willing to forgive your brother or your sister, don't expect God to forgive you. You can slice it, dice it, julienne fry it any way you want to, but if you have bitterness and malice in your heart towards your brother or your sister and you refuse to forgive them, next time you blow it, don't expect for God to cover that. That's just his word. That's what he says. He puts you in a catch-22. You got to forgive others before you get it. So as we conclude this message this morning, a very, very simple, simple, simple process. A negative thought comes in, just block it. And then delete it. If you got thoughts in your minds, strongholds, come down to this altar this morning and start doing some deleting. Get rid of them things. And the devil is never your friend. Understand that? The devil is never your friend. He never is going to have your best interest in mind. Everything he does is to destroy you. Even if you're feeling like you're getting promotions on the job and everything, he is looking, if you're living for him, if you haven't committed to God, look out. Block, delete, unfriend. As our worship team begins to sing, I'm going to open up this altar this morning. If you've got bitterness in your mind, your heart, any of these things we discussed this morning, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't get God angry. Get rid of it. Don't get rid of it.
The darkness falls, it won't breathe.
so very much. I want you to, this week, if there's anything that you have, any animosity towards a brother, a sister, a friend, a relative, a sibling, whatever it may be. It just seems like when we get some of that junk out of our hearts and out of our minds, that God's able to do a whole lot more in us. So I just want to challenge you. I don't know everybody's individual situations. But when we went back, just as a quick review before we leave, remember with a heart, recognize the value. Prioritize. It's got to be a priority. Minimize the garbage that you allow in. Energize it with truth. And when it comes to our minds, those negative thoughts, block them out. Don't even let them in. The Bible says, rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. It's just that simple. But you see, he won't flee if you invite him in. Understand that. Too often we invite him in. We hear something negative about someone, we want to hear the rest of the story, don't we? People have those posts all the time they put on that, you want to hear the rest of this, hit like. How that goes, and then you can see part two. Boy, we hit that like button and go, we want to hear what happened, because that's what we're drawn to. So block it, delete it, and then just hit unfriend. I went through my telephone directory recently and I deleted a whole pile of numbers. Say, what, you don't like those people anymore? I don't want any negative influence in my life. I don't have time for it anymore. We're too close to the end of this thing, church. We're too close to the end to give up now. I fought. We have fought. You have fought too many battles to give up right now. So don't let the, just block it. Delete it, unfriend it. Walk away. Chances are they'll never even know that you're missing. I love you all. Appreciate you all. God bless you. Wednesday night, we're going to go into more detail on techniques that we can use on how to keep the enemy out of our heads. God bless you. Did an awesome job this morning. Awesome job. Just powerful, powerful, powerful. Thank you so very much to our guests that were here this morning. Thank you so very much for visiting with us today. God bless you.